People sometimes ask me if I became the Ron Van Dam Show announcer because I love what Ron does and I love his comedy. Well, no. It's because Ron broke me out of a Tijuana prison back in 82 and smuggled me across the border in a suitcase in the trunk of a Yugo. And I still owe him for that. Muchas gracias, mi amigo. You're listening to the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Brush your legs,
Ron. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Don't sit like that. Cross your legs. I don't want to see that. Hey, welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. I'm Ron Van Dam. Yep, you can tell because I'm the one that's talking right now. Just sit back, relax, put your feet up. This won't take long. Oh my gosh, how are you? How you doing, huh? You know, I've got all the time in the world to sleep, and I just can't sleep. Yeah, I get up in the middle of the night like 7 or 8 times. That's an exaggeration, but I get up a lot. And it's weird. At night, I become awake. During the daytime, I get sleepy and I fall asleep. I don't understand. Well, nonetheless, this is our time together. Do you want to dance? No, I don't either. We got that in common. Oh, no, I don't mind dancing in front of a mirror. That's okay. But with you? No. What am I supposed to look at? The walls? The ceiling? I don't know. I don't get it. Yeah. Here's what I did yesterday. I opened up a gallon of paint. And I painted a wall, and then I got a chair, and I sat there, and I watched the paint dry. It took 33 minutes. I didn't know it took 33 minutes. I thought it would take a lot longer. Watching paint dry is not so bad, really, because nothing really happens. There are no surprises. I mean, every once in a while you say to yourself, when is this stuff going to dry? My God, it still looks wet. But after a while, it does dry. I know what you're saying. Don't worry about it. I know what you're saying. I don't have to be sitting in a room with you. I get it. I know what you're saying. Well, welcome to the program. This is just tremendous. It doesn't get any better than this, does it? You bet it does. All right, fine. Well, welcome to the show. I'm started a jigsaw puzzle yesterday. They're interesting, man. They're so inviting. When you have the box and it's not open yet of a puzzle, it looks so inviting and so wonderful. And you say to yourself, I want to put this thing together. Then you open up the box, which is a puzzle in itself. You open up the box and inside there's all these puzzle pieces. There's like 500 puzzle pieces. And you look at the puzzle pieces and you pretty much say to yourself, this is going to be tougher than watching paint dry, I have a feeling. And it is. You look at all the pieces and go, this is not surmountable. This is, what did I do? what situation did I just put myself in? I've opened a box. It's now my task to take 500 pieces and put them together on the proper way and form this picture. What the hell am I doing to myself? Why am I causing myself so much stress? This is now my mission. And once I have the puzzle pieces together, what's the freaking point? Why did you cut the pretty picture up to begin with, puzzle people? You had the picture all together. What did you do? You broke it up into 500 pieces, and then you put it in a box, and you said, here, schmuck, put this together. And I fell for it. Unbelievable. So it was a beautiful, it was a picture of a mill, a water wheel mill thing. I don't know what to call it. And in a beautiful country setting, and rocks and stones and birds in the background. Really, really pretty. And a little river going through the paddle wheel of the thing. Really, really nice. But it was in 500 pieces. It was like your ex-wife got mad at you and said, you like this picture? Well, I'm going to cut it up into 500 pieces along with your entire wardrobe. That's what it felt like. Somebody had messed with me. And now it was my task to put life together again. Do you remember Humpty Dumpty? Oh, what a sad story about an egg. That's cruelty to eggs. I don't care what you say with Humpty Dumpty. That was not a free-range chicken deal. The poor egg, man, sitting on a wall. I have said to eggs all my life, whatever you do, don't go sitting on walls. Because you're not completely flat anywhere, and you could roll off. Well, this is what happened to my good friend Humpty Dumpty. Dumpty was his last name. Humpty was his first. Now, Humpty was a nickname. It was really Bob. But Bob was such a Humpty, you know, and that stuck with him. His last name was Dumpty, which gave him a lot of trouble in middle school. Kids picked on him. They tried to pick on him, but he had such a hard shell, it didn't really work, but they tried to. So Humpty's sitting on a wall, man. Humpty, don't sit on the wall. God damn, you're so stupid. Humpty Dumpty falls off the wall, big surprise, and fell into like 500 individual jigsaw pieces. Well, they called the first responders at that time, and they showed up. The first responders were all the king's horses and all the king's men. They all showed up. Had there been short a horse, they probably would have been short a man too, but all of them showed up very quickly because Humpty was in so many pieces, man. And they couldn't put him together again because he was an egg. Duh! All the juice ran out from inside the yolk and the white stuff, which apparently is healthier than the yolk. People eating like egg whites. I don't understand that. That's not tasty. That's the mucus part. The yolk looks like it's yellow. It looks like it's full of vitamins and things. It's the white that looks slimy, disgusting. Eek. Someone broke an egg in front of me and just gave me that slimy, gooey. I'd throw up. But then there are you healthy people who you take the slime and you put it in a pan and then you eat it. The hell's wrong with you? The hell's wrong with you? And you throw the yellow part away. That's the prettiest part. Anyway, poor Humpty Dumpty, man. I don't know if that's a true story or not. I'm not too sure what's true and what isn't anymore. Trump really, like, changed that. Everything I knew, Trump told me a different story and blamed it on somebody else. What a child. I don't want to talk about him because he doesn't exist in my world of common sense. So I don't want to talk about him. So stop forcing me to. Hopefully, he'll be out of here pretty soon. Anyway, yeah, that's the deal. So I started the jigsaw puzzle. Whoa. How far off course can you go with this story? Man, wow. Jigsaw puzzle, Humpty Dumpty, Trump. What the hell's going on here? That's just what happens when you watch paint dry. So I'm doing the jigsaw puzzle, and it's frustrating the hell out of me. I try to separate them into different categories. These pieces look like they have the blue water in it. These pieces look like they have the brown wood look from the big water wheel. I try to separate them, but I'm getting confused with that. I'm starting to pull my hair out, and that's not good. Don't do that on your own. It'll happen naturally. Don't help it along like that. And I'm getting really, really frustrated. And I figure, well, what's the one thing that's going to get me through this stupid jigsaw puzzle? And the answer is quite obvious. Alcohol. And not the rubbing type either. That seems to be the answer for quite a few things these days. I joke, kids. By the way, kids shouldn't listen to this show. I've said this so many. Get the kids out of there. I won't be that long. You can have a little bit of alone time. Send the kids somewhere. I don't know where. Send them into the bathroom and make them clean the toilet. Seriously, you got to learn how to do that. Toilet's a disgusting place. It's where you dump all your crap. Kids got to learn how to clean that thing on a regular basis. What did you have children for? To be led around by the nose by them? No, you had children because you wanted tiny servants. Yeah, it's called doing chores. It's called doing everything you don't want to do. Have your children clean the toilet. Go on, tell them right now. I'll wait. I'll wait right here. There you go. There you go. Be assertive. Go on, be assertive. Don't be scared. It's not going to hurt them to clean the toilet. There you go. Good. They're out of the room? Fine. Okay. Yeah, a little bit of a drink every once in a while is fine. Get you through the night if you know what I'm talking about. It helped me watch paint dry for 30 minutes. 33 minutes to be exact. Anyway, so I'm putting the puzzle together, and finally, 73 years later, I finished the damn puzzle. And I looked at it, and I said, okay, now what? What a feeling of empty accomplishment it is to do a jigsaw puzzle. You finish it, you're excited, you're it's such an incredible feeling of accomplishment, just short of orgasm, really. And then you stop and you stare at the puzzle and you go, okay, this is the way it started in the manufacturing place before they cut it into 500 pieces. Then you say to yourself, what do I do with this thing now? It's been a major portion of my life. It's consumed me for days. I finished it. Now what do I do with it? Some people take glue and pasty stuff, and they paste the pieces together. It's like a hodgepodge or something, or a podge, or I don't know what you call the damn thing. You don't have any. You can't get any. You can't even go over the house. So I don't know what the point is. But what do? You say, okay, I've done this. And then you take it and you break it up and you put the 500 pieces all broken up again into the box. That's exactly where you started. What the hell was the point of the past 3-4 days? None. No point. So that you can superficially say to yourself, there, I accomplished something, and then I took it apart and uncomplished it. I don't think uncomplished is a word, but it really should be, because that's really what it means. Ron, I think it's unaccomplished. No, I don't even think that's a word, so no, don't even bother. Don't even bother going there. All right, I would say at this point the kids can come back in the room, but to be honest with you, why? You know what I'm saying? If you have kids, I guess you're homeschooling them for a portion of the day. Good luck to that. You never thought you'd have to do this, did you? Nope, nope. You never thought when you had kids you'd be in a situation like this, did you? Now, for a lot of people, they find it really nice that the family can be together. But there comes a point, man. There comes a point. Anyway, welcome to the program, which I started about 15 minutes ago. I have a great guest coming up a little bit later in the show, and I hope you stick around for that. Yeah, I know. I understand what you're saying. Yeah, I may even clean the toilet later. Who knows? Yeah, I haven't done that in a while. I flush it. I mean, I flush it, but that's not... It's self-flushing. It's not self-cleaning. They have self-cleaning ovens. I've never figured that out. I have a self-cleaning oven. It says on the instructions, on the manual, this is a self-cleaning oven. There's even a button on the oven that says self-clean. I've read the manual 1,000 times. I've pushed that button more than any button I've ever pushed in my life. That sucker don't clean itself. It turns the oven on, and I don't understand exactly what it's doing. It's not self-cleaning. Nobody shows up at my door to say, I'm here to clean the oven. Someone push the button. It doesn't work like that. The oven can't clean itself. I've noticed. But why don't they have a self-cleaning toilet? I mean, seriously, there's a little dispenser that you would put the cleaning solution in, and then you push a button and it releases a cleaning solution, and I don't know what happens because I didn't invent the thing, but the toilet like totally cleans itself. I don't think there's anything like that. If I could spend all my free time inventing things, I would. Nothing would work. That would just be the concept of the idea, but I don't know how to make it happen. I think that's been pretty much my life. I have incredible ideas. I have thousands of ideas, but I don't know how to do them. That's been my life. I could have been a zillionaire. Zillion. I don't even know how many zeros there are in that. If someone could have just put my ideas into motion and made the things that I thought of. I was an idea man. I had an idea, but that's all I had. I didn't know how to put them into motion. I can't even do a jigsaw puzzle. I'm laughing because nobody else is. That's about it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you just drive me nuts right now. Yeah, if I only had an assistant, you know, somebody that could do everything for me. I want a butler. I want a butler like in those English things there, you know, where they have the British guy, the butler with the British accent. I don't know why that's so subservient, but it is. They wear a tuxedo all the time, even to bed, and they do my every bidding, my every whim.
Let's be honest. You are socially awkward. You've no idea how to start a polite conversation. You wouldn't know what to do or say if you stumbled into one. And when it comes to talking with members of the opposite sex, you're like a sixth grade wallflower at the school dance. You need help, and you know it. You need me, Thompson St. Thomas, Fancy Bastard. For a courteous, prearranged fee, I am now offering wingman services for both men and women. Even if you've got the vocabulary range of a brain-damaged gibbon, with me at your side explaining to people what you rarely meant to say, every drool-drenched bit of drivel that slobs out of your scone hole will sound witty, erudite, and confident. And ladies, don't be shy. Take my arm and we'll go chat with the gent across the room with whom you've been exchanging glances all evening. Don't worry, he won't be intimidated by my extraordinary good looks. I guarantee he will only see me as your good British friend who happens to be incredibly gay. It's a service only I can provide, because I am Thompson St. Thomas, Fancy Bastard. So do let me know where we'll be going next, you and I.
That in that commercial was one of the greatest phrases I've ever heard in my life. John Shanahan does that stuff. One of the greatest phrases and I hope I remember it and can use it frequently, dribbles out of your scone hole. Oh my God. That is so poetic and so beautiful. Dribbles out of your scone hole. I don't know what my scone hole is, but something dribbling out of it would be so incredibly amazing. Good line, man. I applaud you. That's good stuff. Can't use it. It's copyrighted. John Shanahan Productions. You can't do it. Okay, my guest is coming up right now. Let's say hello. Hello, Dan. How are you?
I'm great, Ron. Nice talking to you.
Nice talking to you today as well. Dan Buettner joins us. He's a founder of Blue Zones. It's an organization that helps people live longer, healthier lives. And you've got a cookbook out called The Blue Zone Kitchen with, up to 100 recipes and then some. It's fascinating to me because I think when we meet an older person, our first question to them is, what's your secret for longevity? Why are you living so long? This is wonderful. I would like to do this and be healthy as well. And they give various answers. You've got an answer as well, apparently. Not that you're old, Dan. I'm just saying.
My work over the past 20 years has expanded that idea of asking an old person worldwide and very scientific. It began with a National Geographic project to identify the statistically longest lived areas, blue zones, and then working with a team of scientists to distill down exactly what has explained extreme longevity in places that actually experience it. And my previous books, the Blue Zone book and a couple cover stories for National Geographic, have tried to explain the science of that. But I realized at a certain point that if you want Americans to start to adopt the behaviors that yield 100, the best place to start is with their mouths. People like to eat. So National Geographic photographer David McLean and I spent 2.5 years going back to these blue zones into the homes of 80, 90, 100-year-old cooks and capturing not only the recipes that explain that these people have been eating for hundreds of years, but probably more important, the science of why these foods are helping people live into their mid-90s and in some cases into their hundreds without the heart disease and diabetes and cancer that's foreshortening our lives.
Now, have you found that switching diets and being more conscious of these foods does still make a difference, or is this something you would have had to have done all your life?
You can change the way you eat today, and it will add years to your life expectancy.
Okay.
You see, I don't take the same approach that other diet book writers. I don't believe in diets.
Right.
If you look at the science, diets only last for people about 7 or 8 months.
Right.
And when it comes to longevity, these are things you have to do for a long time. The approach I suggest people taking is getting a book like Blue Zone Kitchen. It doesn't have to be my book, but a plant-based whole food recipe book. And especially during this time of lockdown, with your family, learn, buy an Instapot, something simple, and learn how to make a half a dozen recipes that you're going to like. Because when it comes to a longevity, it's got to be a long-term fix. And we tend to quit eating foods we don't like or things
right.
we have to remember, things that require discipline. These foods, by the way, in Blue Zone Kitchen, they're delicious. And they're cheap, and they only take 20 minutes. And these are the foods, the ingredients are mostly peasant ingredients.
Right.
Very cheap beans and greens and whole grains and nuts and tubers. But the genius from these people is they know how to combine them with the right herbs and spices and oils so they taste delicious. So you'll eat them. You'll want to eat them day in and day out.
Wow. Have you found anything that's in concert with the blue zones around the world? Are they located in cities? Are they located at the top of mountains, for example? I know we're talking food oriented, but are there other things that come into play?
But yeah, there's a number of things that come into play. So the blue zones we found in Okinawa, Japan, Sardinia, Italy, Ikaria, Greece, Nicoya, Costa Rica, and among the Seventh-day Adventists. And other common denominators, they tend to have vocabulary for purpose. They tend to live in places where every time they go to work or to friend's house and your kids go off to school, they do so on foot. They're not getting in their cars all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
They tend to be religious. They put their family first. And they tend to have these sacred daily rituals like prayer or meditation or taking a nap or even just happy hour to reverse the stress and inflammation from everyday living.
Sounds like you have to have a little discipline in your life to pull this off as well.
No, that's not the point at all. The point is you want to shape your environment so the healthy choice is the easy choice. And we're doing that with 51 cities. Discipline's a muscle, and muscles fatigue. You cannot rely on discipline to do the right thing for the decades necessary to add years to your life. But you can shape your environment so the healthy choice is the easy choice. And that's the insight that Blue Zones offers us.
Can you give us a little bit of a taste here, something that you've found that's in the book that that we would never think of putting together ourselves food-wise?
You know, I think the point is that these are easy recipes that may be overlooked. You know, we tend to think to be healthy, you need to buy organic, fresh vegetables. Mm-hmm. You got to have a lot of money. But it turns out, you know, the foods that are getting people living a long time tend to be whole grains and beans. So I profile a Sardinian minestrone. It was the lunch of the longest lived family in the history of the world, Guinness World Record. They ate this. It's basically a soup every day, and it has three beans, onions, garlic, tomato, some vegetable broth, and finished with a beautiful extra virgin olive oil. It costs less than $1 a bowl. And I served this to an entire city in southern Minnesota, the city of big meat eaters, and they ate every last drop of it. So I'm a big believer in Sardinian minestrone as a longevity elixir.
Okay. Let me ask you a little controversial thing here, because a lot of us like to stay away from high sodiums. You mentioned soup. Do they put a lot of sodium in this soup when they're making, or is that not a component in order to make it digestible?
Yeah, you bring up, that's a perfect question. Every time you go out to eat, you eat about 300 more calories than you would if you stayed at home, and those calories tend to be much more laden with sodium. Especially in soups. You've got that exactly if you come out of a can. But if you make it yourself, you can completely control the sodium. And it turns out you don't need as much salt. And when you use ingredients like garlic and herbs and olive oil, they create the richness that restaurants make up just adding a lot more sodium.
Okay. So you can be healthy with the garlic, but you won't have a social life. But you know, you want to live long or not, I guess. Okay.
You know, if you cook garlic, it doesn't make your breath stink. It's when you're eating raw garlic when you got problems.
Well, all right. Well, you don't know my friends. But anyway, it's real.
What you need to do is come over to my house and let me cook for you.
You got a deal.
You
got a deal. If I walk there, I'll be that much healthier too. here's what I think. Let's all give it a shot. Let's all try it. Let's all pick a recipe from the book, the Blue Zones Kitchen, and try it and see if indeed that's doable, and it will be, and it could be you could be taking a different road. It's an excellent idea. It's the Blue Zones Kitchen. It's available everywhere, I assume, right, Dan?
Yes, everywhere. Amazon, BlueZones.com.
Is there a website website people can visit to get more information and keep up on what you're doing here?
BlueZones.com or at Instagram at BlueZones, either way.
Beautiful. Dan, thank you so much for your time today. It was good information. We appreciate it.
Nice talking. Thank you very much.
Take care. Bye-bye. And there you have it. Another show down the tubes. Fear not, my friends. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You bet. You go, girl. You go, go. You got it. You got it. I love it when I try to be something that I'm not. I should be good at it by now, but not. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is, I'm afraid we're going to have to part company for a while. I mean, I don't live with you or anything, so this has really gone far enough. But I will be back tomorrow. Make this a routine. You know, you need routine in your life right now. Routine's very, very important. So make me a part of it. I do this damn thing every weekday. So you mark a time down anytime you want, every weekday, and you come to me. You come to me like Jesus, and I will impart my stuff to you and the stuff of other people. Okay? Cool. We have a deal. I mean, seriously, say we have a deal. Say it. Say it. And don't say, yeah, I'll pencil you in, because pencils can be erased. I want you to pen me in. I want you to ink me in. That's permanent. Right? We good? We understand each other? I believe we do. I believe we do. Have yourselves a wonderful day. It's as good as you make it. It's all up to you. Until then, tomorrow, I wish you peace. And you're welcome, by the way. You're welcome.